Hello, and welcome to Season 3, Episode 9 of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. I'm definitely Becca, and this is a podcast that features members of the Virtual Coffee community. Virtual Coffee is an intimate group of devs at all stages of their coding journey, and they're here on this podcast sharing their stories and what they've learned. We're here to share with you. Here with me today is my co-host, Dan.
Thanks, definitely Becca. Today we have a special episode. It's the last episode of season 3, and so we are here with Kirk Schillingford, one of our community maintainers, and Becca is also actually here. Real Becca is here, and fake Becca.
I am definitely
all the Beccas are here. So we have some exciting stuff coming up. We are about to kick into some of our Hacktoberfest preparations. And so we thought we would talk a little bit about Hacktoberfest last year and what we have going on this year, as well as just wrap up the season of our podcast. We start every episode of the podcast like we start every virtual coffee. We introduce ourselves with our name, where we're from, what we do, and a random check-in question. Today's question is, if you had to teach one class on one thing right now, what would you teach? We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, I'm Becca. I'm a front-end developer from a small town in Ohio. And if I had to teach one class right now, like my initial go-to is like, well, I've taught English. I could do that. But I still don't want to. I'm still burnt out from that. So I would probably, I don't know, like maybe a kettlebell class or a patient's rights course for navigating the medical system. You know, all of
like
the fun
be
things.
Like a four-year degree for that.
Well, that's what you get.
Yeah, fair enough. Hi, I'm Dan. I'm a front-end developer from Cleveland, Ohio, and a maintainer here at Virtual Coffee. And yeah, if I had to teach a class on one thing, I mean, I don't know. There's some computer stuff I could do, but I think starting a fire would be my one. Man, did we do this before? Now that I said that.
Yeah, now that maybe, you said that, that was familiar.
Yeah. Oh, maybe we did it in a coffee. I hope we didn't do it in a podcast. All right, well, I'm sticking with it. You know, if we are repeating questions in the podcast, please write in and blame real Becca.
Dan.
Who you heard at the top of the episode. or fake Becca. Just don't blame Dan because, well, you know, I'm blameless in pretty much all situations.
That is false.
Hi, this is definitely Becca, although sometimes you can call me Kirk. And class I would teach 100%, it would be Sudoku. I would teach you all about Sudoku, regular Sudoku, the different types, the different cool techniques. That's a joke. They're all cool techniques. Yeah, that would totally be my thing, and it would be lots of fun. And if we did this question before, I didn't do this question before, so it's fine.
I would go to your Sudoku class. I love Sudoku.
Same. Do you have I do have my phone, and I've never really like found an app that I love. You know,
I can recommend some good apps.
Okay.
Well, let's be clear. I have 4 Sudoku apps on my phone, but each one is a different type of Sudoku, so it's not weird.
Okay. Well, what I like, what's your go-to app for the just classic?
Okay. I have one. It's all bespoke Sudoku. None of that machine generated, you know, print to press stuff, real artisan Sudokus. I'm not even making that.
What is it called?
Okay. Tell us what it's called.
Oh, hold on. I just called it.
I have a book.
It's called Classic Sudoku.
Oh, dope.
It's easy. There's a YouTube channel called Cracking the Cryptic where you can watch two English puzzle masters solve Sudokus and a variety of other puzzles. And it's just the most lovely thing in the world to watch a middle-aged British man just go, oh, what a beautiful number. So they produced their own app and they sourced it from puzzlers that we call people who make puzzlers in the community, and all the Sudokus are really good. And the app like helps you if you need to and gives you like smart hints, not just like random hints. It's great. It's a good app. Classic Sudoku by Cracking Crypt.
So a puzzler is someone who creates the puzzles. Okay, so what do you call somebody who solves the puzzle?
A solver.
That was boring.
That was boring.
Just told you about custom Sudoku.
I feel like that your Sudoku, the Sudoku community needs to up their game, you know, for making pretentious names for themselves, you know?
I mean, Sudokus. We're trying really hard to not upset everyone around us.
Well, speaking of puzzles and games, Techtoberfest sure seems like that too. Except we have maintainers and contributors. See, it's there. That was a really good segue.
Everybody should
acknowledge that. So last year we did Hacktoberfest for the first time, and that's kind of what stands out in my mind as we really kind of came into phase two of virtual coffee, when we became something that wasn't just a pandemic group of people, was a group of developers at all stages of the journey that would be around for a while. And so, you know, what we did last year, we had an issue. We helped members get their first contribution for Hacktoberfest, which Hacktoberfest is a month long focus on open source contributions that's sponsored by DigitalOcean. And once you sign up, I think you have to have 4 pull requests, and then you can get a t-shirt and stickers. But it's really fun and kind of a great way to build community and to learn more about each other. And I know from my perspective, I mean, I learned about organizing this, working with mentors, contributors, and it was my first time as a maintainer as well. So, you know, there were so many lessons that we learned last year. Maybe if we just talk about like our favorite parts of last year, and then we can move into what we're taking from that into this year, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah. Yes. So favorite parts from last year. I enjoyed, you know, last year we decided to use the website as one of our repos, which meant we needed to make a website. so we did that pretty quickly. And
by we, you mean you.
Yeah. Okay. The royal we. And one of the things that we pulled together was making an issue for having people add themselves to their members directory via code. And we created an issue and, you know, set up some guidelines and stuff like that, and then had a kickoff meeting all together where we could get everybody going on submitting a pull request in a Zoom meeting. And that was a lot of fun. It was fun. We got, I think everybody got it done. We had, shout out to Marie, I'm pretty sure, who rescued me at one point because somebody was having problem with Git on the command line, and I don't use Git on the command line. I don't. And so I didn't know how to, I made sure to, before the event, practice, you know, the very simple things. And we ran into something that wasn't simple, and I had no idea. And Marie swooped in with her superhero cape and, rescued me. So shout out to Marie for that. But, it was a lot of fun. Just the event, the whole month was like that. The whole month was just, all members kind of, I don't know, being excited, and we had it was fun to have a goal, you know, to everybody could celebrate, you know. So I don't know, it was fun. But yeah, that first meeting is the thing that pops into my mind when I think of virtual coffee last year and the Hacktoberfest. What about you? Oh, I was trying to think of a Kekka. That's awful.
You can just go with Kirk. Yeah. last Hacktoberfest, I mean, it was a lot of firsts for me. I think a lot of people don't know this. My very first open source pull request was just a couple months before that on the self-defined project run by Tatiana Mack, who's amazing. But I feel like I had spent a long time not doing like anything coding or tech related on the side, just like, especially when I work by myself. And Hacktoberfest was my some of the first opportunity to start doing stuff with other people. It was also my first time hosting an open source project, my first time like teaching other people like formally like Elm and getting into functional programming. I, in a similar fashion to Dan, may have gone a little overboard with my piece of it, writing way too much documentation. But it felt really good to kind of like apply, you know, my thoughts to try and like make something good for people. And I think it was just really, really fun and empowering and validating to see so many people say like, this was my first PR ever. Right. And like the fact that we can get that for some people and they could have a good experience with it, not a painful experience with it, that felt super good. And I'm super pumped for doing that again.
Yeah, I learned a lot. Kirk did a ton of work getting our open source stuff set up and putting some guidelines in place. And I don't know, I learned a lot working with Kirk on that too. It was really cool. Becca, what about you?
Yeah, I think, you know, it all comes down to the people, right? It was such a big learning experience. I feel like I learned so much in the month prep and the month of doing it that it was like an intense amount of learning that happened. I was so exhausted afterwards, but it was so great to be able to work with other people and kind of learn about the deliberate process that goes into documenting things and creating issues and the difference between working on your own open source project and then having people work on it. It was, you know, I learned a lot in working on my postpartum wellness app with members of the community and working through issues and learning how to write issues, but then also, you know, pairing up with them and talking through things and hearing their stories and their connection to, you know, both the code, but also the topic that we were working on. It just became something that I would have never imagined that it would be that special and meaningful to me. So, you know, I really just love that. I think like we all just like grew really close together in that experience.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I agree. we talk a lot about how that the Hacktoberfest last year was sort of where Virtual Coffee became, you know, more of a, more of a thing, you know what I mean? Than
like solidified. That's not the right word, but
sort of a mission or something. I don't know, but yeah, I don't know. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think before Virtual Coffee was, you know, we definitely sort of established the space and, you know, we were having fun together and we were definitely like forming those like good and healthy connections and relationships that I feel like Hacktoberfest was when we really sort of like saw the opportunity to do a lot of good in the tech space, like realizing some of the big gaps and then like, you know, also like feeling empowered to change them, right? Because it, you know, started that question of we all want to do something for open source. We all have this feeling like, why doesn't that ever feel good? You know, why do people have so much trouble with this? Why do people find it so intimidating? And we tried to solve it. And, you know, once we did that, we sort of got on the roll with the next month and the month after that of, hey, let's keep trying to do these things versus just like be together or both at the same time.
Yeah, there's so many people that suggest getting into open source if you're new or you're getting into the industry. And I've always found that that's not necessarily the best advice because different open source projects are open to new and entry level people. Some of them are welcoming and some of them aren't. And so what ends up happening is it can be a really isolating experience and one that doesn't leave you with a good taste in your mouth. Like, oh yeah, I want to continue to be part of this community because there can be some really bad experiences out there. And I think, you know, that really stands out to me as everybody talked about how great it was to be doing this thing together. People who had been in tech for years, who had not done it before, were doing it for the first time because it was part of a community and it was a sense of belonging. And there's a greater purpose when you're doing it with other people that you trust around you. And it, you know, it allows you to grow in new ways. And so I think, you know, bringing that into what we're doing this year just makes it even more exciting and more purposeful, because we know that this has happened once before and we have grown a ton since last year. So this year, it's really exciting to kind of build off of what we've done. Dan, do you want to kind of talk about what our plans are heading into this?
Yeah, absolutely. So DigitalOcean, you know, has been running Hacktoberfest, and they coined the term Preptember, right? For September. And the idea there in DigitalOcean's mind is Preptember is for maintainers, right? So Preptember is get your repositories ready for people to contribute, right? And they have a lot of good resources out there for things like, you know, creating issues and adding contributing guides, stuff like that. And so that was, you know, we're going to also piggyback on that a little bit. We want to help maintainers get things ready. I feel like we have done a pretty good job in our own internal stuff of adding a lot of the community health things that you want to see, a lot of some of the organizational things that we want to see. And so we can use some of that as a guide and provide some help for both existing maintainers that want to sort of just make sure they're checking all the boxes, and anybody who wants to create a new open source project to figure out which, you know, what things to do, what things to hit when you're creating a project, so that you don't end up with the random bits of code, the default README with, you know, just a header and that's it, right? So somebody comes to contribute, they can help. And then for Virtual Coffee, we also wanted to have something this month for our members who, you know, who aren't maintainers of open source projects. And so the other thing we thought about was creating, a challenge, you know, using our monthly challenge setup and helping people learn how to create good issues for repositories, because I personally feel like that is actually one of the strongest things you can do to contribute, especially to big projects, but even to little projects. Writing an issue, you know, I don't know, if you find something that is either wrong or you'd like to help improve or everything like that, almost every maintainer will prefer you to create an issue first, right? And that way the maintainers can process them and, you know, check and see. But also, you know, if you see something that's wrong, lots of times, okay, so this has happened personally, right? I've been trying to install a package or something. I follow the README, it doesn't work. And I mean, you know, whatever, I'm busy, I'm pressed for time or whatever. And, you know, I just like, oh, this thing is broken. And so I just move on, you know, and, a possibly better approach would be to write an issue, right? But you can't just say this is broken and move on, because that's just not as helpful. You know, like, that's not helpful either. So that's our other, we're doing a two-pronged Preptember, right? Write some issues for some repositories and, you know, how to do it well. And then how to, you know, both, set up and create or create, your open source project with a good, you know, with a good setup of support, for maintainers. So that's Preptember, starts tomorrow as of our recording, starts September 1st. So, which will probably be when this comes out actually as well. So.
Yeah. And, you know, I think having contributors rate issues also does a really good job of kind of showing what it takes to be a maintainer or what's a useful way to approach a problem. And so I think it helps to create those clear paths of communication. Now, Kirk, I know that you did a lot with maintainers last year. You're working on a checklist for maintainers this year. What are some of the big things that you think maintainers should be looking for as they prepare their repositories for Hacktoberfest?
Part of me wants to say there's quite a bit, and then another part of me wants to say it's like less than people think. There are some basic like files that we know usually help to just have, like having the good README and like knowing what makes a good README, contributing, like telling people, hey, here's the way you contribute to this code base in the way that works for you as the maintainer, right? Having a code of conduct. So establishing very early on types of behaviors you expect while, you know, interacting with the code base and interacting with other people contributing. As you said, like it's all about communication. And I think a lot of times maintainers, it's like we sort of think of open source in this very transactional way. Like I have code base, you submit to code base, I take some, you know, like, but it's a team, right? It's an ad hoc team. It's a distributed team. But while that person is trying to work with your code, they're kind of like your teammate. So in the same way you would keep a teammate aware of like what's going on, you kind of do the same thing with contributors. So I usually encourage maintainers, like, hey, think about the way you want to interact with this code base. And just like a lot of it's just like giving folks a heads up, like, hey, I work on this on the weekends. So if you submit a pull request, you know, expect a review by the weekend. Or like, hey, sometimes I slip up. So if you notice it's been a couple of weeks or a couple of days with no response, shoot me a message on the appropriate channel where you wish to receive messages about your open source code base. So there are a lot of things like that, but I don't feel like we talk about a lot. We talk about like making the issue or making the PR. But I think those subtleties of, as a maintainer, find the way you want to be interacted with and make that super clear for people. That can be super helpful. And then for your contributors, then they don't have that burden of trying to decide if they're bothering you or frustrating, right? And that goes back to what Dan said about like, what's a good issue. You know, a good issue for a maintainer is something they can see and like make decisions. Do I need to fix this? Can I let this person fix this? Is this a big problem that we need to pair up more on? Can we break this into smaller chunks? You know, so, you know, it's about like building a healthy working relationship. And a lot of that is people being open, honest, with like where they're at and what they can accomplish.
I really love that idea of this is your team that you're working with. And so if you're thinking of, okay, now you have all of these brand new teammates who are going to be working on your repository, how do you onboard them all at once, right? Like it starts there, you know, what are the clear paths of communication and how do you lay that out? How do you demonstrate that you are a friendly repository for people to come and work on things? I talked to a maintainer of a really large project a couple of months ago. And one of the challenges that he said was, it's so hard to find people to continue being maintainers for the project because he was self-described as older. And he said the other maintainers are older and they could really use new people to take it over. But it's a catch-22 almost because so many of the maintainers don't want to spend the time to work with new contributors. And ultimately, those would be the perfect candidates once they understood the repository and how to work through things to take it over for a while. And I think that, you know, going back to what we're doing and making sure that we work with all of our members at all different levels and stages, like that's the investment that we put into these repositories. We make sure that people have mentors. We make sure that there are repositories that are friendly to them. And it's about developing the relationships that go and create community around your project so you can sustain and grow.
Yeah, I love that. And like, that's one of the support things that we try to do too. And this stuff that we're talking about is time consuming from a maintainer's perspective, you know. And there are a lot of projects out there where I feel like there are people that would be open to contributions, you know, maybe haven't spelled out every single thing that they could or whatever. And that's one of the things that we can do at, like that we do as a community is maybe provide support for contributors to navigate, you know, different areas of repositories and what to do. Cause none of them are ever going to be perfect. Right. No project is going to have everything laid out. Some will get close, you know, but, anyway, that's like one of the other things that we do once Hacktoberfest starts is provide support and mentorship and sometimes, you know, in some places for people, for our members to kind of work through some of the social, you know, some of the like social anxiety that can happen, when, you know, when contributing to open source.
Yeah. I think you touched on something really important, just like how scary it is to offer to help someone on project that like you feel like, oh, I don't particularly understand, and it's all this code, and especially if you're an early career developer, you're like, oh, I just got here, I'm gonna mess something up. There's so much, it's something that we don't really do in other circumstances. There's a lot of anxiety about it, and sort of anything you can do as a maintainer to make people feel more welcome is like worth it. No, getting back to Preptember, this year we wanted to not just be Preptember for maintainers, but also Preptember for contributors. And, you know, we're going to be doing, you know, a couple of talks and a couple of sessions, you know, to show people what contribution looks like, but also to let them see like how not scary it is and how approachable it can be, you know, just to anything we can do to kind of like get through those layers of anxiety, get to that place where it's like, no, they want me to be here. They want me to help. They're okay with me learning. They're willing to sort of, you know, guide me along. And that's when I think you get to see people really, really shine, like really enjoy making contributions to cool projects.
So you mentioned some stuff, some events. I just wanted to kind of run through a couple of the ones that we have for September, if that's all right, real quick. September 3rd, which is this Friday, I will be doing an event, a lunch and learn event at noon Eastern. And it's just what's called the open source project walkthrough. And this is just sort of a tour, not really a deep dive into any, contributing anything as far as like pull requests or anything like that, but just a tour of what a repository looks like, what are all the different pieces that happen, what it looks like from the maintainer's perspective on a project, and we'll just kind of wander around. It's not going to be a super in-depth event, but it'll be kind of fun, and we'll hang out and have some questions and stuff like that. And so that's me. That's Friday. September 17th is a lunch and learn, how to create an open source repository. And so this is Kirk. That's September 17th at noon, Eastern. And this is sort of geared towards maintainers or, people who'd like to be maintainers. This is kind of what we touched on a couple of times. What kinds of things should we look at when we're thinking about creating an open source project? Because it's not just the code, like we've talked about a bunch of times, right? It's not just the code. There's a lot of things we can do to help potential contributors actually contribute to your project. So that is the 17th. And then what do we got? The 24th, which is the last Friday, I feel like, probably in September, is this is our intro to Hacktoberfest and open source contributions. I think hosted by Becca, but I'm pretty sure we'll all be there. And this is a general Hacktoberfest, you know, kind of jumping into everything event. I guess I should have probably asked if you had anything to say about your event. I just realized I was about to do that for Becca too. So if either of you would like to, you know, expand more on what I said, but those are the events coming up this month. I'm excited about it.
And I think you covered the bases. It's going to be very much what it says. We're going to start from scratch with I have something locally and I want to get it up on GitHub. I want it to be open source and I want to do necessary things so that people know that they can come here and work here. We will cover the required docs. We'll get some of the health GitHub features for making that process easier because they have invested a lot of resources into that type of thing. We'll cover a few things that GitHub doesn't really tell you about that we've sort of learned from our work with VC and just all the other cool projects in my community. So, I mean, totally recommend it for anyone who wants to start an open source project, anyone who already has one and they just want to get like a refresher on what are the cool things happening nowadays to make it engaging. Or even if you're a contributor, you just want to see like, hey, like what actually goes into this? I might want to do this next year or a couple months down the line. I think all three of our events would be super useful for anyone at any part of the OSS.
Yeah. And I always appreciate everybody coming. If somebody is very experienced and has done it before and has things to offer and can answer questions too, you know, it's great to have a variety of voices from the community who can talk about the things. And, you know, we'll start with, you know, what is Hacktoberfest? Because, you know, I've met plenty of people who've been in tech for a long time and they're not familiar with Hacktoberfest. And it's okay. It just depends on, you know, the circles that you hang around, right? To have exposure to that. I think I was just in the like free t-shirt groups everywhere. And I was like, there you go. So we'll get you set up, learn how to sign up for that, learn about how to find repositories that are eligible for Hacktoberfest, and talk through what it's like to work your way through an issue about, you know, creating a pull request and some tips for doing that or asking questions along the way. But we'll definitely prioritize answering anyone's questions at that point, just to make sure that everybody feels comfortable and everyone feels comfortable asking whatever questions they feel like asking, right? It's okay to ask all of the questions. Because that's what we're here for. We're here to answer them.
Plus, I think we all like talking about it. I always want people to ask questions because it's just fun. It's just fun to talk about all this stuff for me, you know, and it can be anxiety inducing. It was for me, certainly, like getting started and getting started with open source, especially contributing to projects of people who you don't know, the people, right? You don't know the maintainers and everything. But it doesn't have to be. I think the way that you get over, the best way to get over that anxiety is to just kind of get started, you know, ask questions, you know, all of that stuff. And then we can kind of dive in. And so that's going to be our process again this year, you know. This event should be fun. On the 24th, the Beck is running and we'll all kind of hang out, and then going into October for virtual coffee, you know, we'll have some more specific events set up and some more things kind of going that we'll announce a little bit later in September, I guess, once we figure out what they all are.
I think one of the cool things too about how much we've grown in the last year is that we have a lot more maintainers with us this year than we did last year. People who have their own projects or who have jobs at open source, working on open source projects. And so it's been great to kind of see that evolution of like, oh, look, they participated last year and got their first PRs. And now they're like leading on this whole open source project in their company. And, you know, they bring with them that amazing experience of like knowing what that feels like and being able to help new people. And there's a lot of, you know, great projects and also really meaningful projects out there too. So it's going to be really exciting to see how much the variety has grown as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. I guess adding on to that, another thing that we have new this year for us is a team of, you know, people that are helping out actually run the events and, you know, run these challenges and stuff like that too. Our monthly challenge team, especially, has been kicking butt helping get this rolling in September, and so I just want to shout out to everybody there too, because that's been really cool. It's been cool to have like a sort of a larger I don't know, group of people to generate ideas, bounce ideas off of, and you know, everything. So that's really fun. I'm excited about that.
Last year this time we hadn't started monthly challenges. That started in November with our blog challenge. So it's really cool too to see like we've almost made that full circle of a year of monthly challenges. And after Hacktoberfest, we will, because we have Preptember for September. And then next month, we're just going to totally dive into Hacktoberfest. And, you know, the last couple of months of having other people step up the game with monthly challenge and have things thought through has been, you know, a really great way to show how much support we have from the community that allows us to do extra things and things that are meaningful. And, you know, I got a message from one of the members today is still August, but so we did healthy habits for healthy devs. And I checked in with one of the members to see how they were doing. And they said, well, this monthly challenge is getting me through this month. because it's requiring like deliberately thinking about my health and how I can, you know, turn off work and how I can create healthy habits. And I just thought, you know, what a wonderful example of how the work that our members provide to support us goes to, you know, like support everybody, and those meaningful moments make it all worth it.
Yeah, I think part of what makes this whole experience so good, it is, I mean, it's obviously a great thing to work with, to like provide experience for other people. But it's also been really cool to see people who have not had the experience to maybe like provide the support in many ways in the space get a chance to do that. You know, there's so many folks now in the different teams. We have sometimes like, it's hard for me to keep track of all the different issues we have because we have all these different channels where people are doing amazing things. And everyone's saying like, oh, this is the first time I've ever done something like this. And they're doing such amazing jobs. And, you know, I feel like a big part of what I like about Virtual Coffee is that this is no one's job, but also in the sense that for a lot of us, it's the first time we were trying to do something. And all we really had was the belief that we could do it and like the belief that we could get support if we needed to. And that to me has been, you know, super empowering, just like having a space where you can try to help other people and try and work with other people and try an initiative where you can feel comfortable with making mistakes and having to do things over and not having to be perfect on Zoom or, you know, like just that's hard to find sometimes in real life. And like, you feel like the work, you have to do everything perfectly. Sometimes even in just like interpersonal relationships. So it's just, that feels really healthy. And that feels almost like as important as like the people who are on the receiving end, you know, being able to help people on the giving end. It's been really good. And I mean, the big discovery, which I guess isn't really surprising in retrospect, is that like a lot of people want to give back. They want to help, you know, half our community is here because it's just like, oh, this is just a nice space where I get to help folks out. And that feels really good.
Yeah. I mean, I love that. I was going to segue into some other stuff, but do we have any final like Hacktoberfest thoughts? Other than we're excited.
I just want to say too, just looking back at how much I've grown personally in the last year, learning from everybody, as we're approaching this and we're doing this big event and all of these things, I think last year I saw things more in black and white, like there was success or there was failure. And I think this year for me, it's not ever about that. It's about the growth. Am I growing? You know, what am I doing to push myself forward and to support the other people? And I think that's just a testament to the community that's here that is supporting everyone, because it's not success or failure. We're all moving forward. We're all growing, and we're growing together and growing in different ways. And so I think that, you know, I'm very excited that we wrap up August with Healthy Habits for Healthy Devs, because it gives a much better perspective going into some really, event heavy months.
I think that's a good point. I think you might be subtweeting me right now, but I make my own choices. I'll echo that. I mean, this community is so great, and we have sort of naturally focused on mental health, I think, from the beginning, you know, without any sort of decision, right? It was a natural thing because the people here care, you know, and we see over and over again, everybody knows and has experienced, I'm sure, you know, burnout and overworking and all of that stuff. And the fact that our community is a community of people who care so much about each other that, you know, giving support for that with mental health just kind of comes naturally for everybody. And especially I want to especially shout out Kirk here, because this is one of the things that he injected into all of our thought processes at the beginning. This is while we were maybe not practicing it, this, you know, in this time of year, maybe September last year, we were pulling together documentation and resources on the website for Hacktoberfest. And Kirk's, I just loved Kirk's thoughts on all of it. And the focus on the mental health and the taking a break and the, you know, all that stuff. It can be easy to get, even with volunteer stuff, it can be easy to get caught up and everything, you know. And like Becca said, the black and whiteness of everything, you know. Anyway, the mental health focus of our community is amazing. And I never really put it together like that, but I think that's a great point that August was sort of a breather month, you know, and a mental health check-in month. And I don't know, it's a great thing to keep in mind moving forward for all of us, even if I'm not always going to be good at doing that myself.
What? Dan and Becca not good at taking breaks? No.
What? Why are you pulling me into this?
You would benefit. Don't think you're not here. This podcast could be called People with Letting Go Issues. But it's okay. That's what we have the community for, to remind us. Like, it's okay.
And the Frozen soundtrack.
Oh, I still haven't watched
it. You said Let It Go.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen Frozen.
Oh.
Not one or two. Heard good things. I'll wait for the line match.
Yeah, that's good. All right. So I think I said at the top maybe, but this is the last episode of season 3 of our podcast, and we're kind of wrapping up and things. So I wanted to, before we end this episode, shout out some different things that have happened over either the last, you know, during the last season or the last year with Virtual Coffee. So I guess first the podcast, we passed 4,000 downloads, but you know, total for our podcast a little bit ago. And I think that's amazing. And I wanted to say thank you to everybody who's been listening and everybody
who's come on and told their stories.
Yes. Including Kirk is, you know, repeat guest. And yeah, it's really great. It's crazy that there's so many people have listened to our podcast. I don't know. It's hard to really comprehend 4,000 people or 4,000, you know, listens, I guess, or whatever. But I wanted to shout that out and say thank you.
Am I the first person to repeat on the podcast?
Yeah. Yeah, you are. Sure. You're our third co-host.
I'm the Martin Short.
Or sometimes co-host.
I'm the secret co-host. You only get access to me if you listen to enough episodes. So if you're listening, congratulations.
One thing Kirk said earlier about just the community kind of working together made me think of the co-working room as well. A co-working room for anybody who is listening, who doesn't know, is a room. It's a Slack channel and a room in Virtual Coffee Slack that it's basically an always on Zoom meeting. And so people can join the meeting and work together and hang out together. Kirk, I feel like you visit pretty often. Do you want to?
Oh, yeah. I pretty much live in the co-working room.
Well, can you talk about it a little bit?
Well, I mean, first, I think like the important thing is to say shout out to Dan for making the co-working room. From the Slack side, it looks like very simple. You get join, you get in, but I know like you're doing like several magics to get that all working smoothly. So, I mean, we were sincerely rewarded for your efforts. I think the folks that used the room really, really value it. For a lot of members, there are a couple of our members, sometimes it's difficult for them to get to regular coffees. That I've had one or two folks say, but I know I can always jump in co-working and mention someone there. And sometimes that's my virtual coffee for the week. So that's really good. And, you know, it's just become, it's just another space, another platform for these members to interact with each other and provide support. Sometimes people will have questions to help in pairing and they're like, hey, you know, if one's in the co-working room, let's jump in. And then the co-working room becomes like a little, you know, watch and learn session where, you know, everyone's just like, they're trying to help the person through the problem, but also watching people kind of pair up and go through solutions. So it's got a lot of purposes, but it's definitely something I know the members really appreciate, really enjoy. Shout out also to Meg, who I think also does a lot of like great work in there. And yeah, I think it quickly rose up the ranks to become like one of the coolest parts of these. I feel like co-working, helping pairing, just like, hey, this is pretty awesome.
Yeah. And I feel like they kind of are almost, to work together, right? Helping pairing. We have a helping pairing channel, you know, and I just very often see somebody ask a question and somebody answer, hey, I have a minute. Let's jump into the co-working room, which is amazing. We're going to add our newsletter, we're going to add the longest meeting of the month or longest, not meeting, but longest co-working session, right? So a session can last, you know, if somebody starts a session, the session lasts until the last person leaves, right? So it doesn't necessarily have to be that person staying on the whole time, right? And so subscribe to our newsletter if you want to see the longest in August, but that made me want to look it up, what the historical longest one. And so it was 789 minutes on the end of July 24th. So that, you know, I mean, that's whatever it is. I did this last time.
Don't convert it to hours. It doesn't
13
count.
Hours.
It's at 13 hours, over 13 cool. hours. And, yeah, it's pretty cool. And it's just cool that somebody, like some of our friends were just hanging out for that long. You know what I mean? And I love it. We have, I don't know, almost 350 sessions have happened since we started it. I don't know, February, maybe near the beginning of the year. It's been cool. So if you are a member and haven't checked it out, go ahead and check it out. And if you aren't a Virtual Coffee member, this is just one of the many things you're missing out on. what else we got? Podcasts.
We've got sponsorships. That's new.
Sponsorships. Becca, do you want to tell us about sponsorships?
Sure. I'll tell you about sponsorships. So you can sponsor Virtual Coffee, help us keep the coffee brewing, on GitHub. I'll have a link in the show notes for that. But, if you just go to github.com/virtual-coffee, there'll be a little heart sponsor button and there's different tiers there for different ways that you can, contribute, to Virtual Coffee to make sure that we can cover some of the costs that are incurred to run Virtual Coffee. And I think maybe we'll put something up there. We'll be talking more about having a Hacktoberfest sponsor too. So if you're listening to this and you know somebody who'd be interested in sponsoring all of our fun Hacktoberfest activities, please just reach out to us at hello@virtualcoffee.io.
Yep. We have on our home, on our website on virtualcoffee.io, we have a section of our sponsors too. So you can see who has supported us so far. We have like 26 sponsors. And I want to say thank you to everybody who has sponsored us so far. Well, so is there anything else we wanted to cover before we wrap up?
I just want to say thank you to everybody that has donated their time and their effort, and resources to making sure that everybody has been supported over the last year that we have been doing this. You know, it's still an amazing thing in my mind that here we are a year later, closer and together and grown so much, and we're able to do this again. So thank you for everyone for making sure that that got to happen again.
Yeah, I think, I just want to say a lot of people ask me like, hey, you know, what happens when VC gets too big, or what are we going to do when VC gets too big? And like, well, I mean, you know, every community has growing pains, but I think what makes me feel really happy and, really positive is, you know, every time I come into VC, I still see people being really, warm and caring for each other. I still see people supporting each other in the heavy channel. I still see people supporting each other in helping pairing. And I think the cool thing is there's a lot of folks who've been here since last Oktoberfest. You know, we have folks who've been here for over a year with us, and that's amazing. But we also have a lot of new folks, you know, folks who've been here a month, 2 months, 3 months, and they are enjoying it, loving it, and making new friendships and supporting other people and being supported themselves. And I don't know, it just always makes me feel really good every time I see someone who hasn't been here that long when we do our Friday gratitude or our Wednesday shout outs, like, hey, I really like this space. I really like the people here and I want to help out. And that makes me think that, you know, we're still doing a good job.
Yeah, I would, I'll just echo both of what you both said. This community is amazing and I'm very glad and proud to be part of it. And the members are what make it amazing. And I don't know, I'm looking forward to another year. I am very, very pumped about Hacktoberfest this year. I'm very pumped about the things we have going on, the people that are going to be involved. I've yet to brew up exactly how I'm going to, you know, try to murder myself at the end of the month trying to redo something, but I'm sure I'll think of something. And I'm pumped about that too, honestly, because it was a lot of fun last year. So yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. If you want to keep up to date with us, subscribe to our newsletter, follow us on Twitter at virtualcoffee.io, follow us somewhere.
Check out our site. We've got lots of good stuff on there.
Yeah, we have a dope website. It's at virtualcoffee.io. Subscribe on your podcast software of choice if you have not done that yet. What are you supposed to say? Hit that.
For YouTube. You can do that on our YouTube channel too, because we've got one of those.
Oh, yeah, we have a YouTube channel. So
give us
subscribe
five stars on the podcast and leave us a message. It's always so great when we get messages or reviews about our podcast when they're nice. We never got a mean one, so don't leave a mean one, but nice ones are good.
Nice. Oh, five stars only, as Jason Concepcion would say on his podcast. Yes, we would love to hear from you. If you have suggestions or questions, comments, hit us up on Twitter, Slack, anything. Yeah, I guess we will
see you next season.
Next season we'll drop beginning of October. So we're going to take a month off the podcast and we will be back season 4 in October.
Yeah. Bye for me, definitely back on.
All right, bye everyone.
Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. This episode was produced by Dan Ott and Becca Harrott-Weigel and edited by Dan Ott. If you have questions or comments, you can hit us up on Twitter at virtualcoffee.io or you can email us at podcast@virtualcoffee.io. You can find the show notes, plus you can sign up for our newsletter to find out what Virtual Coffee's been up to on our website at virtualcoffee.io.
Please subscribe to our podcast and be sure to leave us a review. Thanks for listening and we'll see you next week.